Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 77, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
A podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries.
Welcome.
It's Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sugar, Sugar. Oh, Jack O'Brien, you are my podcast host, and you got me wanting you. As courtesy of Hannah Soltis. That song, by the way, Sugar, Sugar, was the number one song in America the year that Gimme Shelter came out during the Vietnam War. You always hear in movies when they show the Vietnam War, Gimme Shelter. It was actually that song that they should be playing that was on people's minds. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I'm the definition of half black, half drugs, ask the thugs, psych gang, that's what's up, after bucks, crush pause after us, hot takes, we ain't laughing much, I said we ain't. Growing no hair, we ain't growing no hair, no barber shop now, cause we bald boys for life.
Ah! Yeah.
Wow. My man, Christy Yamaguchi, man, that crispy meme donut with that bad boy for life remix, bald boys for life for us with the struggling hairlines. But we stay elite service on airlines. Okay, there we go. Okay. That's just off the top.
Off the dome.
Off the bald dome.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Lydia Popovich. Liddy.
No raps. No nonsensical AKAs.
Lydia Popovich.
I only have one. I don't know if I talked about this last time. This is what happens when you're an older woman. Your brain just falls to shit. Litigations.
Oh. Litigations.
Litigations.
All right.
If I were to be a lawyer and a rapper.
Yeah.
Or just a very law-abiding rapper.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
Catch these litigations.
There you go. Okay.
Or like the most aggressive lawyer ever. You
right?
Have like a yeah. wrestler name type
I'm also,
thing.
That's actually probably more realistic because I am very about my business and I love a confrontation.
Yeah, and right. You change your name legally.
Yeah, so just legally to
litigations. Esquire.
Yeah, of course.
Fuck with me.
Yeah,
boom.
I like it. I just think it's hilarious that like are they fans? What do you call people that listen to? It's fans, right?
Yeah,
podcast fans?
Zeit Gang, though. We call them the Zeit Gang.
There you go. I would say everybody has a cute little name, so I didn't want to miss
yeah.
it. But what, these people have no time? Like they're just like thinking all week? Like,
they
just want
I don't know.
Involved?
It's weird because everyone has like serious jobs too.
Yeah.
You get it all. We got people doing everything.
Oh, that's great.
We have people working on biology, you know, sustainable beef cattle stuff, butchers. Yeah.
I mean, some
particle
people,
physicists.
Damn.
Smart people do the New York Times crossword puzzle in the morning, and we just happen to have some smart fans who do AKAs for us.
I mean, I didn't say they were smart, guys, but I just said you have an interesting mix.
Oh, man. Well, I'm
some boring ass.
Because I read them and I go, damn.
Damn.
Right.
They smart.
Come on, whoa.
Y'all not playing.
No, I'm sure there's very smart people out there.
Of course,
I am a moderately smart person, so who am I?
I think you're more. I give yourself more credit.
Well, Lydia, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in
Let's
a moment and judge for ourselves how moderately smart you are.
As you should.
But first, just a couple of the things we're talking about today. We are going to give you the least surprising update on trampoline parks that I've ever heard. We're going to talk about that article from a few days ago that got just the terrible ratios on Twitter, like more comments than likes.
Just to hell.
Yeah, about how she never hires anybody who doesn't send a thank you note.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Candace
Owens.
I got words for those, too.
Yeah. Ilhan Omar. We're going to talk William Barr. Not all of our stories will rhyme, though. And Lil Nas X being number one. The rebirth of Subway.
Woo!
And Aunt Becky and her incarcerated future. But first, Lydia, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or where you are?
I had to literally Google, how do you find your Google search history?
Oh, okay. There you go.
Because I am not a very tech-savvy person. I found out that I don't Google anything, but I look at maps a lot because I am a constantly lost bitch. it's just like maps, and then it was like, how do you find search history? And it's like maps, and it was like Roquefort cheese
maps.
Made with sheep's milk. Maps.
Best dab rig 2019.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it.
When you say maps, you're not writing in an actual location. You're just typing maps into the Google search engine.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I do that a lot.
Maps.
Because Google's the platform. Google. I called it Google's, by the way, in
Googles.
Case you didn't catch that.
Yes.
It confuses me. I've been known to Google. Like,
right.
I'm a slow lady.
Did you move down to LA recently?
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's still early stages.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still heavy on the ways.
Well, for me, it's mostly, I'm looking at traffic rates.
Yeah, exactly.
To be very honest, that's what I'm at. I'm obsessed with, like, okay, where am I in now? How long does it technically take to get there? Now, what's the time that I want to leave? What are the traffic predictions? What should I do? Surface? I'm always just trying to find. I'm obsessed with back roads.
Yeah.
So
I'm
really?
Just trying to find like
hacks.
A squiggle. Yeah.
Dang. Oh, so are you like mapping it out yourself? You're like, I could go this way.
Yeah. Like I look at their suggestion and then I'm like, do they really know what's going on? Because they present you a suggestion based on an algorithm that the most people are going at that time.
Yeah.
So that's how like when you go down like Hauser, for example, like if you're coming from Culver City into Hollywood and you'll notice everyone and their grandmama's waiting in line to turn left on Hauser. But if you just pop up two more blocks to Redondo Player, you in there.
Yeah.
Right.
You make it left on Redondo, you cruise all the way up, and you skip that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. The maps are a suggestion, but I'm trying to find my own way.
So you're using the algorithms to like just sort of augment your own ability to
you gotta
see
re-up
the matrix.
Sometimes
yes.
Because especially if you see like three cars making a random left turn, you know, and you're
they're
supposed
on
to make that
Google hype.
They're on the same train.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And listen, one of my first grown-up jobs after college was being a beer and burrito delivery driver in San Francisco. So you better believe I take my shortcut seriously.
Right. I was gonna say, like when you're living in the Yay area, were you that dependent on maps or was it already mainframed in there?
It was pretty mainframed, and also that was a time when like that didn't exist. So it was like you had to print out like you had
go
to print that
Quest
shit. Yeah, 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 exactly. Be like, let me take it. And when you're like delivering food, you don't like you can't like be like using
you
up the bandwidth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like print out those orders and get on the road.
Wait, they would deliver beer too?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were
that's
one of the first. This was like so pre-Postmates. This is like the early 2000s.
Right.
Like 2001,
like
2002.
When it was called Cosmo.
Yeah. Like they had online orders that came in, but you could call them up and be like, hey, I want a burrito and I want a six pack of Bohemia. And you'd be like, word, we got you, but don't talk about the six pack. Like, there was like,
whoa,
it was
really?
A, like, oh, a, like, you're cool. It wasn't something more advertised, but if you ordered from there, you knew, and then I would drop off and be like, hey, by the way, did you know, like, we'll deliver 6-packs. Like, we'll, you know.
Got you.
So I would come through. That business is now out of business.
People caught on.
I don't feel bad. Shout-outs to Botana in the year 2001. Mm. You know what I mean? It was a great job. I appreciate them.
I'm sure people in the Bay will remember that one.
What is something you think is overrated?
Customizing your own drink at Starbucks.
Wow.
Customization culture is just... And here's the thing. It's a double-edged sword. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. I want everyone to have what they want. I want everyone to be happy. But let's draw the line somewhere. If I order something basic, I don't want you asking me unnecessary questions. I should never be asked how many pumps I want in anything. That's not a question you ask a lady.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, how many pumps do you want in? I don't know. That's your job. How many pumps do I need?
Yeah, right.
How many pumps do you usually put in?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why is that my job to know how many pumps of vanilla make it sweet? That's your job.
Right.
If I want something complicated, then let's ask questions. But otherwise, they have a very vast and wide menu. I don't understand people taking up minute after minute after minute being like, I need it to be a tall in a large cup, but then I also want a shot and a half, and I want coconut milk, and I want 6 pumps of this, and then 3, and then a sprinkle of matcha.
Right.
Sprinkle.
And then can you smile at me and shake it violently when you hand it to me? I don't know.
Yeah.
Get your drink and keep it moving. I don't like it.
I get anxiety.
That was my exact order, and you were just making fun of me right now.
I mean, I didn't.
It's all written on your Starbucks cup.
I knew I was going to be here, so I was like, I didn't want to have a confrontation, but I also wanted to make a point. So.
Yeah, because you got litigation in the building now. She got time today.
What were you going to say, Mom?
Oh, I was going to say, I get fucking, I remember, just being like a PA and shit, eating shit
in
your younger days.
Oh, my God.
You would have to go do coffee orders, and you're like, are you fucking with me with all this shit you're telling
me?
They
are.
Like, yeah, in a way. And again, I get, especially like if you have some kind of lactose intolerance or something like that.
Of course.
Yo, you got to do you.
Of course.
Right. But when you're being like, I remember somebody was like, there's actually too much cocoa powder on this. And I was like, fam, like, I don't know what you want me to do. You gave me the list. I went and got it, and they put it on. I'm sorry.
Am I supposed to open up this cup and stick my pinky nail into it and be like, I'm sorry, this is too much cocoa powder.
Right.
Like,
right.
And also, like, if there are too many, I remember, like, people would ask me, they're like, oh, well, if when I got to a point where I could give my coffee order to someone, like, oh, do you want that a certain way? And I'm like,
just
what?
Coffee, black,
I'm right.
Like, nah, let's get out of here, dog.
I was like, it's real simple. I want that shaken passion tea lemonade.
Yeah. Straight to the point.
Straight up. Now tell me. Yeah. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I used to work at a coffee shop as a teenager. It was one of my first baby teen jobs. But there was a woman that used to come in, and she worked at the Bloomingdale's counter because it was a mall kiosk. You know what I mean? And she used to come in, and she would just be like power bitch walking up. And at the time, I was like 15. You know what I mean? She was probably like 21 on a good day and too much makeup. But I just still thought she was fancy as shit. But she would just be like, I need a steamed Olay. 160 degrees.
Oh my.
No.
And I was like, bitch, do you know how hot that is? Right. You're going to burn off the entirety of your mouth. And she'd be like, but is it 160? And I was like, do you have a thermometer in your pocket? Are you in the health department? Like, is there a steak at the bottom? Like, why are we doing this? So I think part of my hate for that comes from just those years of talking to a very bossy lady who, now with hindsight, I should have talked so much shit to.
Oh my God.
I hadn't formed into like the mega confident me yet.
Right.
So
you weren't litigation then.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was absolutely Lydia. It was probably like,
speaking of litigation, 160 would fucking injure the shit out of somebody if they spilled it on themselves.
That's... You crazy person. Yeah.
But 200, boiling is 212, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking Celsius, right? 160 degrees Celsius.
No, Fahrenheit.
Right, so boiling is 212, so just 60 degrees below that? I mean, that's...
I don't know.
Like steamed it's hot. That's pretty hot.
Well, because I think the McDonald's woman, hers came out like at 2-something, I feel like.
Oh,
right?
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
coffee,
okay.
Burn.
Look,
lawsuit.
Miles. I'm not a math major. 165 sounds high to me.
Yeah, it's a little high. Me too. I'm just thinking. I'm like, let me just figure out.
Her excuse was that Bloomingdale's was on the other side of the mall, and she still wanted it hot by the time she got to the makeup counter or wherever bullshit counter she worked at.
Right.
But
I was like, what are you, the boss of fucking Bloomingdale's? No, you're not.
Oh yeah. So at the time, the McDonald's coffee was kept between 180 and 190.
Yeah.
So that was the one that got the McDonald's lawsuit, so she was just coming in just under below that.
Yeah. But imagine, like, imagine the hottest beverage you ever got and how disturbing it is to your whole thing to be like,
your fucking teeth hurt. You know? Right.
You're like, oh, great. I will now just be shedding skin.
Right, like, constantly. You're like, hold on, let me just shed my
mouth.
You
take the sip and you already stop being able to taste it by the time it gets on your tongue because it's just burnt to shit.
The steam burnt your mouth for you. You're
it's like, oh, I know this is burnt really bad, but I can't feel it, so that's good.
Overrated.
What is something you think is underrated?
Sandwiches.
Okay.
You think they're underrated?
I do.
Okay.
At least in Los Angeles, and maybe I don't know the right people. Mm-hmm. But like, and when I say sandwich, I mean like just like a good old fashioned deli sandwich. Mm-hmm. Like a hoagie, some might call it. A grinder, some may refer to it as.
Right.
Not a panini, not a pressed. Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not a pressed sandwich. Like Los Angeles has a lot of like two things, like a lot of pastrami, roast beefed, corned beefed, kind of like these mega sandwiches that come hot or cold that are piled high and slopped onto breads.
Right.
Or you have like a, you know, like cranberry, raspberry aioli with like buffalo chicken slice with, you know, cheese with God in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, I just want like a turkey provolone, some shredded lettuce.
You been to GML's?
No, I have not.
That's a good one.
I'm going to write these down.
You been to Mario's in Glendale?
I
the Italian
not.
Deli there?
See, and again, I'm not going to drive to fucking Glendale for a sandwich. I live in Hollywood.
Are
That's
in
what
Hollywood?
I'm talking about. There should be a sandwich in arm's reach.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to make a day of it to
All
quote
about
Jamie
the bread
Loftus to go
okay.
get a damn sandwich.
Have you been to a Subway?
Ah. You can fuck off with Subway.
We're going to talk about that
no, we can't.
A little bit later.
Subway's garbage, but I love it.
Wait, Gianelli's. Hold on. These are hot sandwiches.
Gianelli's.
Mellas. Okay.
Also, there's one in Northridge. Again, I like Italian delis that aren't like Bay Cities. Everyone loves Bay Cities. But Mario's Italian Deli in Glendale's good. And also All Italia Bakery in Northridge.
I don't even know where Northridge is. I'm not
going
to
Oh, and
that
My
down.
Hero. My Hero by the CSUN campus is one of those. It's a college sandwich shop that I think is kind of what you're talking about.
Okay.
There's no bullshit.
Yeah. I just want a basic, a
they
very
feed the college
basic
people.
Sandwich.
They're like, yo, we keep it simple. We keep the prices low.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to My Hero.
Yeah. All I know is I Postmated a sandwich for my house the other day, and it was like $19 after Postmates.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was just like, I can't believe I just did this.
Right.
This is a $5 sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have gotten my car and drove and got it, but like I was in the middle of six things. You know what
exactly.
I mean? But still. I mean, I got sandwich money. Don't get me wrong. I got sandwich money.
I got that Postmate sandwich money.
But I just, you know, I want to spend it on wheat.
Mm-hmm. Well, call those priorities.
Well, I'm going to try one of these sandwiches you speak
of. Check them out.
They sound very good and totally underrated. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
You need to drink water. I'm just kidding.
Just dry the fuck up.
I was thinking about that. I actually had a conversation with somebody the other day that didn't realize that you have to, the babies don't drink water when they're first born.
I know.
And it blew her mind. She
Wait,
was like,
what?
Baby
oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Hydrated.
Right, but like, you don't, just like, and I was like, do you think that breast milks like turn on and off and turn into water? Like, what did you think?
Right. Like, it's like the Gatorade thing at the fountain where you're like, next to it is water. Like, no, I don't want Gatorade. Let me hit the water switch and now water comes out.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, maybe that's why I don't like water. Cause I didn't have it when I was a baby. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta turn this all the way back. No, you had water at like a certain point after breast. And I was just like, I can't even. And that just got me thinking about how, like, what if water was a myth?
Yeah.
What if, and then there are certain factions, I think, of this country where people really do think it is a myth. That they're like, I drink soda. I drink water with, like, any of those squeezy.
Oh, like flavor
like,
things?
Yeah.
Like Mio?
Yeah. I was trying to remember what it was called. I was like, it's Mio. The little thing. But, like, they think you don't need water. Like, you can get your water from fruit, just free water.
Just Lil Yachty, the rapper, actually said that in an interview, like, when he first came out.
He's never had water.
He didn't drink water. He was just like, oh, I drink soda.
And didn't 21 Savage say that he,
Amber Rose got him
Amber
drinking
Rose
water
got
when
him
they were
drinking water. He was like, man, it's turned my life around. I'm drinking
and you're
water
like,
now.
Oh shit.
Well, you know what? That's actually a myth. Let's talk about that. I mean, this is a myth that I'm going with. I don't know if it's a myth or, you know, it's a theory.
What's
I guess
that?
I don't understand what myth means.
Yeah, don't worry. No
it's
one
fun.
Does.
Amber Rose is the new Erykah Badu.
Wow.
That's a myth.
Let's think about this is my theory, right?
Okay.
And go with me. And I know there's people fucking falling out of their chairs right now. So
well,
Erykah,
anyone born after a certain year is going to be like,
you're like
what
is she talking about? Yeah. Erykah Badu basically went through the 2000s and curated like the baddest dudes and then got their babies and then changed their lives. Andre 3000,
right?
Right. still baddest dude on the planet. Ask 9 out of 10 girls and they absolutely want that dick. Okay. Like, he is amazing rapper. Yep. 9 out of 10 dudes are like, I will take that dick from 3,000. Three stacks is amazing.
We're good.
Right. She took Three Stacks from like a rough and rugged and like made him found his bohemian self and then flattened him out and then he was reborn like a phoenix and now they got that kid seven.
Six or whatever. Yeah.
His name is Seven.
By the age of this, it'll probably be six.
You know, he wrote a great song that could arguably, you know, we could be argued that like it kicked off like Outkast's mainstream career.
With Hey
Miss Jackson.
Oh, Miss Jackson. Yeah. Jackson. Okay.
As, you know, one of those things. Like that was part of that whole situation, right?
Yeah,
so
that
then
album, yep.
They break up. He moves on. They're amicable. Co-parenting,
right?
Beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. Then she meets the DOC, the D.O. motherfucking C.
Mm-hmm.
Does whatever she does with him in The Great Good Night, and then pops out another amazing child. She brings Puma into the world,
right?
Take another bad one, taking him down again. You know what I mean? Just out there mesmerizing him, got all mixed up. They still friends. Then she moves on. J Electronica.
Right.
Bam. Has another one. Mars. J Electronica, arguably one of the best beat makers of our time. Again, takes him to another place. We didn't even talk about Common, who she didn't even have a baby with, but just changed his whole life. And he probably wouldn't even be an actor if he hadn't fucked Erykah Badu.
Yeah.
She is out here putting magic on motherfuckers, making them open up their minds and see their life. Amber Rose.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Equally stunning in a different way. Equally revolutionary in a different way, a different vibe. An updated vibe, right? She's not selling this hippie shit. She's not selling this witch shit. But nobody's buying witch shit from fucking Amber Rose.
Right.
You can have a big old ass like that. Not that Badu didn't have a big old ass, but like crochet was in. You know what I'm saying? Like spandex is in now. Like Fashion Nova doesn't have crocheted shit like that was.
Right.
But you know, she took down Wiz. She ran through Savage. Like she's been running through and trying to like choose these people. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the SoundCloud rapper that she just got, you know, got pregnant by again, but I'm predicting at least two more babies from rappers and Amber Rose. And I'm saying in 15 years, we're going to see changed men because of the time they spent with Amber Rose.
And then she motivated my beautiful dark twisted fantasy.
Exactly. Kanye.
Yeah.
I mean, she's run through this generation's bad ones is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And had them like centered out, like, look at it, man, throw the runes on the table. I'm telling you. That pussy has magic.
She has a spicy wit to her, too.
And I don't know if you guys have ever met her in person, like in real life or seen her in real life.
Yeah.
It's electric.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it until I like was at a party with her and I just walked by her and I was like, oh my God. Okay, I get it. It is not a myth. That ass is real. Like she's like, I'm a very heterosexual person, but I was like, oh no, she can get it. Like 100% she can get it. I understand it. And I talked to her and she was super fucking nice and very like sweet and bubbly. And she had this like vibrant energy. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I understand you.
And then she's like, have you had water?
Right. Yeah. She's like, it's a myth. You don't need it.
You don't need it.
So if I'm following correctly, the myth is Amber Rose, that ass is real.
Yes. That's the myth.
Okay.
Yeah. Boom. There it is. We got there.
Boom and boom.
Thanks, Jack. That was all right. Thanks. It's a long journey with me sometimes. It's always an eventful journey. You're like, what the fuck are we talking about? But we'll get there.
No, that was
the whole world.
That was fascinating. All right. The first thing I thought when I heard about trampoline parks is, well, that can't possibly be what I think it is. And then I found out that it is. It's just a big old park with nothing
warehouse.
But trampolines. Just a big warehouse with nothing but trampolines.
Trampolines on the walls, trampolines on the floor.
I was like, they must have figured something out. They must have like some netting somewhere that other regular trampolines don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, no. They just have really good like waivers that they make people sign.
Right.
Because they have been just maiming people for days and days.
There's a whole report, right? So Richard Blumenthal, the senator, has been like pushing this thing called the Fair Act, where he's trying to get rid of like forced arbitration for consumer cases.
Hmm.
So in these trampoline death traps you go to, they make you sign the waiver to be like, look, if you fuck yourself up on these trampolines trying to do backflips that you know you shouldn't be doing, you can't sue us. And if it does, it'll go into an arbitration and you have no other recourse legally.
Right.
And so this came up in this context because he noticed that not only has like we've went from, I think, 40 parks, trampoline parks in 2011 to over 800 now in this year. And none of them are being regulated. There's no oversight. And they're getting away with people just signing this shit. And it's obscuring things like there have been 6 deaths since 2012.
Ooh.
There have been a number of severe injuries, like including broken necks, broken ankles. The common things are like open,
like how I was on broken ankle.
Yeah. open fractured elbows, open tib and fib fractures.
So when we say open, Are they talking about bust through the skin?
Bust through. Compound.
I would say
Paul
compound.
George
there's
shit.
Like a yeah, there's like a real fractures. Word for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the NAST shit. ASAP NAST. So this is, you know, it's becoming a thing. And so he was just sort of saying, I think we need to actually begin to turn our focus to this because there are people getting hurt. They have no, they can't have their day in court.
Right.
All because we've found, you know, we've created a system where people can just be like, oh, you signed the waiver. Sorry. Like, I know we created an environment for you to possibly kill yourself in, but that was on you.
Yo.
I mean, also though, and I've certainly done it myself, right? Like, you need to read what you're signing.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. And I like, never do.
I usually do. Like, I'm the annoying person. I'm like, can I have a minute? And I will read through and I'll scan through for stuff. And,
litigation.
Like, I've absolutely, like, pushed things back and been like, I'm not going to sign that.
Right.
You're, like, redlining it?
Yeah, I've done that before, too. And then people are like, I'm like, no. And they're like, well, do you still want to participate? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to sign that. And I've had people let me do it and I've not signed it.
Really?
Because they want my money.
Right.
So challenge them.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Wow.
Like, I've definitely done
cross things out, initial next to it, then sign.
Yeah, like when, I mean, I was in Cabo and I went parasailing and it was all this gnarly stuff that's basically like, right. if you drop into the ocean, like, you're gone, like, we don't care. And I was like, bro, this is you don't even have an office. This is a tent and a table on a beach.
Right.
You're like using a rubbing pencil to take my credit card number right now. I'm absolutely not signing that waiver.
Right.
And he was like, okay, no problem. I was like, yeah, okay. I thought, I'm like, I'm going to sue the shit out of you if you drop me in the ocean.
I'm reading this, right? It says, in the event of serious injury or death, .. shrug?
Yeah, exactly.
There's just a stage direction there.
Yeah, man.
You put the laughing emoji with the tears.
God. But that is wild that, like, it comes institutionalized, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, you've waived away your rights to be compensated for injury that is not your fault.
Right.
Faulty equipment.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, somebody has jumped 9,000 times in that one corner, and you happen to be the 9,001 time that broke it.
The stories of one, like, so CBS, when they first heard about it, they sent an investigator, like a reporter, to just kind of look into what the hell was going on. And they said that, literally an hour before this journalist got there, someone had just completely, like busted their knees or something. Ooh. An hour before she got there. They said, Jason Freewalt, a healthy young dad and former college football player, he said he could finally find the words to explain the pain of jumping into a foam pit. I can't describe it. I blew my knees out.
Jesus.
Also, you a grown-ass man. Why the hell are you jumping into a foam pit?
Well, that's...
I think the other half of it. Like, read what you're signing, but also... You're
not built like that anymore.
Yo, yeah. Be real.
Because, like, that foam pit's probably not built for a body weighing however many pounds,
right.
Like, with the downward force coming through. But anyway, but that's the problem. If I see that, my child mind activates, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can wild the fuck out in here because it's soft everywhere.
Right.
Mm-mm.
And then cut to me in the chair being like.
And how dumb would you feel if you blew your knees?
Both of them out.
Yeah, you would have to come up with a new story.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody who tells you a badass story about why they're on crutches, the truth is they fucked themselves up at a trampoline park.
I'm also very, very clumsy. Like, I have broken bones just standing.
Oh my God.
Where things have happened to me. Like, broke my finger walking from my living room to the kitchen holding a plate. Somehow managed to throw the plate up. It went to catch it. It landed on my finger. I fell and it broke my finger.
Right.
Like.
Yeah.
If it's to be broken, I will break it.
So we'll keep you away from the trampoline.
Yeah, yeah. No, I will never do that. No.
And we won't do the knife juggling section.
No. Parasailing alone is like the biggest risk I've ever taken.
Also, Zeitgang, tell me if you work at a place where you force people to, not force, but you have customers sign a waiver before. And tell me if you work in a death pit or a death trap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like we were talking, where else could this happen? Like a go-kart track?
Yeah, there's a lot of, mini-golf. Like go-kart, mini golf.
Oh, yeah, don't you sign a waiver at
mini golf? I don't know how you mini golf.
At
mini golf
and at driving ranges.
Yeah, because motherfuckers
driving ranges. For sure.
Right.
There's a lot of shit that like little kids do, like their gyms, like
water
that are
slides.
Like gymnastics gyms.
Right.
Yeah, water slides for sure. And I just think
there's
I always
waivers baked
assumed...
into things when you just use your credit card too, even though if you're not like signing it, it'll be like, check this box to agree.
I think I've just always assumed that, they have it figured out.
Right.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And
trusting.
Yeah.
All they've done is like, well, if they sign the paper, we're good, baby.
Right. Exactly.
Welcome to Knife Island.
And who's handing you that paper? It's like a pimply faced teen that's like, will you sign this, please? You
know? Oh, man. I am so. Like, I spent a lot of time on a trampoline as a kid.
I
never once did a flip.
He's white. Of course he did.
Damn.
Never did a flip. I've never dove into a pool. You've
never dove into a pool in your life?
I like won't go upside down. I'm like,
oh my
very
God,
careful.
I love this.
Yo, I'm so careful, man.
We gotta do a documentary of you
trying to learn how to dive into a pool.
Cautious, oh Jack. Yeah, cautious.
Cautious.
The bubble boy.
Yeah, and I've noticed my oldest kid like is very careful. Like,
oh shit!
Yeah, he just like when he's walking down the steps, he'll take like 3 like tests to go down. I'm like,
and he
yeah.
just sob and
that's adorable.
It's like, don't hurt yourself, boy. Don't hurt yourself.
Right? We're cowards. That's how we got this far. The O'Brien men are cowards. There's a war on. We will run the other direction.
Wait for the brave to kill each other and reap. Just sweep it up right
just
after.
Just play dead. All right.
Son, I need you to sit still and do not participate.
Yeah. Have I showed you how to go full fetal in a fist fight?
You pull somebody else's body on top of yours. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back. And I wanted to talk real quick, Miles, about this article that you brought to my attention.
Everyone's attention.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of people were talking about this a few days back. The quote is, or I think maybe the title of the thing is, "I've been hiring people for 10 years, and I still swear by a simple rule. If someone doesn't send a thank you email, don't hire them.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So the responses to this were varied, but all pretty much like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Do we Google this person? Do we know what they look like?
Jessica Liebman. This is what she looks like.
That's her quote.
That's mm-hmm. her quote. She is the man, like she does like the hiring at Insider Inc. So Business Insider and all their other like brands. So she's the person, she's the gatekeeper mm-hmm. for this company. And her litmus test is, did you thank me?
Is she from the South?
I don't know.
Is she Canadian?
Right. I know you're trying to find a reason here. Yeah, I don't know.
It's very, I have never, ever considered that. It has nothing to do with like how talented or good somebody's going to be at the job. But so the thing she says is it only has to do with how eager they are to get the job.
But is that the best quality? Because to me, if you're too thirsty, it's like dating, right?
Right.
Like just because the dude or the lady that you're dating is like, oh, sends that follow-up text and then is like, it can be like too much. But it's like, well, okay, you could also send 19 thank you letters in a week.
Right.
That means the only thing you're good at is snowing. You know what I mean? Yeah, and sending letters. And I'm not to undermine the gesture of a thing, you know?
Right.
I think it's really great. But I've worked for a long time and I've been in situations where I am absolutely a manager and I'm in a hiring position. I've hired several people in my life.
Right.
And I've gotten thank you notes and I've not gotten thank you notes.
Yeah.
And in my personal experience, the people who are writing thank you notes are the most desperate people and people who have done poorly in the interview.
Right.
And they're using this as an opportunity to reiterate where they felt like they have gone wrong in their interview.
Just be like, if I could actually do this written.
I just wanted to thank you for this time. Or they're just such, there's also a level of almost, they're assuming they're going to get a job.
Right.
Like where they're like, oh, I can't wait to work forward with you. I look forward to working with you every single day. And like, here's a note where I'm just like, hey, bitch.
Right.
I haven't even decided if I like you yet. Like, thank you, but let's just keep it easy.
Well, a lot of the people in their responses were like, oh, so do you actually thank every person who's applied for your job too?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
they
do
should.
You do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, what's good? Do you think, like, other people are like, why would you treat these people like children? Or it's just like, there are way too many things involved. You know, her reasoning is that like, well, it just helps put somebody in the good apple pile, right? He's like, if anything, they might
She likes to have her ass kissed.
Yeah, of course.
That's a very self-serving boss. That's somebody I don't want to work for.
She specifically says, at Insider Inc., we look to hire good eggs.
Good and eggs, that's what it was.
What does that mean?
It's like coded
like
language.
At all.
Yeah,
it's
that line like gave me goosebumps because it's like that weird bullshitty HR lingo where they're like just basically trying to find a way around, you know, saying that it's completely subjective and it's whoever I seem to like. So they're like, so we group people into good eggs and bad eggs.
Good eggs and brown people.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is. I'm sure I don't mean to cast aspersions of whatever the fuck their hiring practices are. But I think
I do. I'm just kidding. I mean,
we don't know. Like you look you're
I
like
I don't care. They ain't gonna hire me. I'll say it. I'll pull up.
Okay, Miss Liebman.
Listen, not everybody has stationary bitch just hanging around waiting to put stamps on it. Like some of us are out here interviewing and going to the job we already have.
Yeah.
We don't have time to send you a thank you letter.
I think to me, like there have been other people. I remember in the Harvard Business Review, someone wrote like they don't hire people if their grammar's bad because that's more of an indicator to them of some like if the job is having to do with writing, they're like, if you don't know two and two,
right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's
a bad egg.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, and I get, like, if there's something more specific, but if it's just something as general as, like, you didn't massage my ego.
That's my problem. Exactly.
And I'm not sure what objectively it, like, okay, great. That person is polite.
Right.
But that's not always the thing you're looking for. And you don't know what the other person is going through to assume that just because they didn't thank you means, like, oh, they're going to be fucked up.
Yeah, they're not going to know how to say thank you ever. They didn't even thank me for this interview.
Right. And her reasoning is sort of like, you know, I've noticed the people who, like, don't say thank you. They'll maybe accept the offer, but then pull out and then leave us in the lurch and just sort of like using.
I feel like
she's
had some very specific things happen to her that she is like put into these buckets and been like, these are my new rules.
Right.
Right. And who knows how much her interaction with people after they don't send a thank you note is coloring how much, like, whether they end up taking the job. Like, she's like,
Well, honestly, she's prejudiced. Like, right. She's absolutely putting, which is kind of like against all HR rules for hiring.
Exactly.
Like, you're supposed to consider each candidate on the merit of their skills and juxtapose that against the, like, job description that you have posted and pick the right person.
So, someone from Business Insider was asked actually specifically about the ethnicity or the breakdown of their newsroom. And it says, thank you for the question. With respect to race and ethnicity, 28% of our teammates identified themselves as people of color. 3 years ago, this percentage was 20%. Within our newsrooms, 30% of staff identify as people of color, up from 25% 3 years ago.
Getting there.
Well, that's, hey, I mean, I've worked in places where I was
100%.
Like, it me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, the job
mixed.
Is done.
He counts as two.
That's good. Yeah. He can tick the black box, yeah. Count him as Asian and a black person. Good.
He's rare.
Yeah. It's like a Benetton ad.
All right. Let's talk about Candace Owens, guys.
She fucking sucks.
What? Candace?
I mean, okay.
My Candace?
Yeah, right. Let's just get through this quickly.
Yeah.
The House Judiciary Committee is having hearings on white nationalism.
What's that?
The thing that Jack, what's white nationalism?
Yeah, never
the
heard
thing
of it.
That's, you know, we don't have to treat seriously because Obama is proof that racism is died.
Right.
It's gone now. It's done.
So is this like a historical thing? They're looking at like where it went.
You know, they're looking at things around the world and see that, especially in this country, white nationalists are pretty. The rhetoric they use is pretty violent, and they act out their intentions in person, in physical space.
Right. Yes.
So they're saying we need to talk about this. This is an issue facing the country. So. You know, like whenever they have committee hearings like this, the majority party, which is the Democrats now, they have their people who testify. And then the Republicans and the minority, they get to have someone come up too. The Democrats have like experts, right? Like sociologists, people who understand white nationalism and what, you know, systemic racism is.
Right.
And the GOP uses their time-honored tactic of going, have you met my black friend?
Yeah.
And they had Candace Owens go up there and just basically say some shit like, oh, you know, white nationalism doesn't exist. She fucking said that the Southern strategy is a myth.
Yeah, I saw that too.
It was just the biggest. It's just one of those things where you realize that conservatives don't actually realize how their logic and rhetoric plays out outside of their echo chamber.
Mm. Right.
Where they're like, on Fox, you put Candace Owens on, everyone's like, oh, yes, see?
She gets it.
She woke up.
She one of the good ones.
And that's what she even says. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, and people don't like me because I'm a black woman who sees the truth. That Democrats actually hate black people. And then the white conservatives are like, yes,
she's got it.
There's the token. And it was just so absurd. Ted Lieu, he used his time wisely. He was just like, let me just play this clip for you of you normalizing Hitler. He's like, I don't even have to describe you. I'm just going to play this clip. She looked so upset and then was like, oh, you're lying. You think black people, they're just not intelligent. That's why they don't support them. And Jerry Nadler, the head, was just like, okay, we're not going to do that. Okay. And she looked fucking heated. But, you know, it's one of those things where we're seeing, it's just this, like, this denial of racism is so fucking dangerous.
It is.
And we need more white people to stand the fuck. It can't just be people of color or minorities out here saying, yo, this white nationalism is a fucking problem. And, like, we're seeing it play out. Because what I see is white guilt playing out in a very different way, which is the guilt of understanding how racism is still very strong in this country and then using that energy just to feed the denial of it.
Right.
And I'd rather be like, I'd rather not cop to that. Because there are people, look, there are plenty of people who are white and have come to grips with the fact that racism is still a huge issue. But there is a growing number of people, and we know people who are very dismissive of racism.
Right.
And I think that attitude, that shit, that only feeds this thing and only makes the problem worse.
Well, the other thing is we just need people, the acknowledgement of systematic racism is really a huge problem too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, and I don't, it's not one more than the other, but like the fact that the way that our country is set up and the services and the way that people are serviced as Americans is fundamentally and systematically racist. And until we acknowledge that and we have white people acknowledge that and not just be like, I feel like maybe it's hard.
Right.
Well, why do you think it's hard?
Right.
Because it's not set up for brown or anybody who's different than white to win.
Right.
It's like, oh, you went to the bank and they gave you a $50,000 loan for your scrunchie business?
Yeah, how'd that happen? You didn't have to show up with like every single bit of collateral and explanation of how you plan to choose the money and then like five generations of children that will promise to pay it back for you?
Yeah. And I think also too, when you look at even how like there is a poll, a Pew Research poll that came out where especially in a partisan way, when it comes to like looking at how racism has become more common since this administration, 64% of Democrats have said Trump has made it more acceptable. 84% of Democrats have said, yes, of course, racism is more common now. On the other side, 42% of Republicans says it has become more common, and only 22% have said it was more acceptable. Now, at the same time, when you look at also, this poll was also asking Black, Hispanic, and Asian people to what they felt about racism and racial equality. And I would say what? It says 78% of Black respondents said the country has not made enough progress on equal rights for Black and white Americans. 50% said it is unlikely the nation will eventually achieve full racial equality at all.
Yeah.
Like, so
how great does that feel?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and people want to spin this analysis of people of color looking at how the system is and being like, oh, they just have to get over it.
Right.
It's like, no, we're playing a fixed game. It's a rigged game.
It's not only a rigged game, and it's a game that you can't avoid, that you literally have to play every single day from the moment that you open your mouth and open your front door and leave the house.
Right.
If it's not like people of color can escape it.
Right, yeah.
Like, you can't escape it, so I can't There's get over it.
There's only so much smiling I can do at people to
Well, I'm just, at this point,
friendly.
I'm not willing to do it anymore.
Yeah,
I'm all about, like, no, there's race, then let's embrace it. I'm going to be a cranky brown bitch, and you're going to take it.
Right, yeah. Like,
or not, and you're going to call me a cranky brown bitch or something even worse.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't want to, like, have violence, but I'm over trying to, like, accommodate uncomfort. I'm like, no, let's talk about it right this moment. Like, I will call it out immediately.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I feel like you're being unfair. I think you're treating that person unfair.
Yeah.
But that's why I agree with you. I do think we need to have more positive allies of people that are out there doing it in the right way, but not in a way that's overstepping and becoming so, like, onerous about it. You know what I mean? Like, you need to educate your children. You need to educate your family. You need to start at home. Like, I don't want people caping for anybody.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, there's a difference between being an ally and being fucking cape. Like, I don't want that. I don't need you defending me.
Right.
But I need you to call it out and call it out in your friends and
in
the conversations
circles,
in white rooms with only white people.
Yeah.
When no one else can see you.
Right.
You need to tell your white friend, oh, wait, let me stop you and tell you why that's wrong.
Right.
Do you realize what you're saying is actually very problematic, and here is why?
Yeah.
And that might be your family member. That might be your doctor, you know? And if you feel like your doctor is that way, and even if he's the best doctor, then you need to not go see your doctor because he's a racist piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Make those, until he starts seeing sacrifices.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be nice.
Yeah. Well, I think people just have to, like you said, it's the people in your immediate circle. Like, you don't have to go on Twitter and start SJW and like that.
No.
But you have to also, like you say, hold people accountable. And that doesn't mean that I think a lot of people have this immediate response if they're called out for something. They're like, well, I'm not racist. I don't hate. It's like, no, I'm not even trying to say that. What I'm saying is we have to actually fundamentally change the way we have discussions about race.
Yes.
We have to use a new vocabulary. We can't,
yes.
We can't approach it from these ways. I'm not accusing you of this, but you have to understand that we are trying to speak in a different way about these things. And it's going to start with the language at first. Maybe you fucking do have racist beliefs that you aren't going to let go of, but you have to at least understand we have to find a new way to speak about this without just fueling it even more.
Well, we also need to do it in communities of color, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it even goes into communities of color when we start talking about, you know, colorism and who's more valid and who's invalid. So, like, I mean, it's everywhere. And I think we need to be just as honest in communities of color and how we treat each other with respect of regardless of the shade of brown or whatever that someone is. Because it ends up bleeding into these communities because it's like this learned thing. And that's what happens in communities of color, just get over it.
Yeah.
They start basically projecting those same behaviors within their own community. And it's still
that
hate is still there.
Racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So in the sort of right and the GOP's convoluted racism jujitsu, they are trying to say that Ilhan Omar is anti-Semitic for pointing out that Stephen Miller is a white supremacist.
White nationalist, Jack.
Oh, my bad. White nationalist.
There's a difference, not.
my bad.
He loves America.
Yeah. They're just saying.
And being white.
Literally because he is Jewish, they're saying, but this is a quote from Lee Zeldin, who is a congressperson from New York. During my time in Congress, before Ilhan Omar got here, I didn't once witness another member target Jewish people like this with the name calling and other personal attacks.
Right.
Trump Jr. I see the head of the Farrakhan fan club, Ilhan Omar, took a short break from spewing her usual anti-Semitic bigotry today to accuse a Jewish man of being a, quote, white nationalist because she apparently has no shame.
Right.
What the fuck are y'all talking about?
Yeah.
Just, this is a fact. I mean, none of his policies say anything except white nationalism.
Yes.
And his words are right there. Okay, I know he put on the black dude fake hairspray that one time, and maybe that he tried to get some street cred like that. Not with me. Everything I see is white. Even from when he was in Santa Monica High School writing op-eds about, like, I don't know why the janitors have to speak Spanish.
Right. Yeah.
Like, at that age, he was on this shit.
Yeah.
And again, please, for everyone who has to speak up about trying to, you know, twist Ilhan Omar's just analysis or observation of Stephen Miller for what he is as anti-Semitic, can you, why don't you reserve that outrage for your base?
Right.
And your supporters, because I'm seeing a lot more of that shit on that side.
Yeah.
When you talk about even fucking Trump, when he met with like it was like the coalition of Jewish Republicans in Vegas, he referred to Netanyahu as your prime minister,
which is the most anti-Semitic, most like clearly accusing people of having a double alliance where you're not like you don't care about America. You're actually Israeli, even though you are all American
and Jews. Yeah.
Yeah. But that didn't register a blip other than just people on the left kind of being like, what the?
I mean, I don't know. We're only going to be for so long till the shit is too late. Right. That's my worry.
Yeah.
Because we're playing a game where one side is willing to break the law.
Yeah.
And then Democrats are scrambling to figure out like, well, how do we actually, how do we rein this in when we don't even have the tools or the laws to do it?
Yeah.
And because they're fucking around.
Yeah. As we record this, the election for Israeli prime minister is still sort of a back and forth affair. The last I heard was Netanyahu was pulling away, but then it, other people have it as still too close to call. So we'll see, I guess.
Benny Gantz and Netanyahu like,
hey, we won the election. So, hey, everybody, you know,
your
it's
Netanyahu
a historic night.
Really good. I didn't know there was a version of a good
Hey, man,
Netanyahu.
When you're watching enough of these interviews, man.
His voice is so fucking bassy. And super producer Nick Stumpf noticed that there's a small difference between Netanyahu and Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
He's like, hey,
I was
going to
say that it's...
Hey, the one I got rights here is Stallone. And then if it was, hey, don't I have rights here? So you have to go back.
Just enunciate a little bit
It's all
bit
on your
more.
Throat. You yeah, know, yeah. This is from my new podcast called Useless Accents. You won't be able to use anywhere for my...
The voice work is stunning. Just stunning.
So much, guys.
Then briefly, William Barr has basically said, you're going to get the full Mueller report in the next week, except for all of the redactions that I'm going to put in there. And here are the four reasons I'm going to redact. First, if it's grand jury information, we knew about that. The second is information that the intelligence community believes would reveal intelligence sources. Pretty straightforward. The third are information in the report that could interfere with ongoing prosecutions, which we know specifically the president is involved with from, or at least according to what Michael Cohen said. And finally, we intend to redact information, this is the fourth, that implicated the privacy or reputational interest of peripheral players where there is a decision not to charge them.
That is such a overly wordy way of saying we're not going to put the spicy shit about the president in this.
Yeah. Exactly.
The fucking information implicated the privacy or reputational interests of peripheral players. Yo, peripheral players is my new streetwear brand.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's ripe for that, for sure.
Yeah, peripheral players out here. For all my peripheral players out there.
Yes.
Unindicted co-conspirators.
At the same time, it would be premature to speculate what's in this report because...
We just don't know.
Thank you, Miles.
I mean, we have a good idea, though.
A little bit.
God damn. It's funny, like a lot of people were writing the evolution of Trump from going like the Mueller report. Oh, so fucking good. To fuck the Mueller report. I mean, when is it going to fucking end? They just want everything.
Right.
So I think that's weird. I wonder what's in there. Because before that was the fucking Rosetta Stone that was going
to
unlock the mystery of your innocence.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them.
Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so is Lil Nas X on the charts, baby.
Number one.
Got the old Daily Zeitgeist bump. Yeah. And now is number one on Billboard's Hot 100.
Just king-making out here, you know?
Yeah, and that's all. Yeah. Just wanted to...
Not even the remix, the one that got booted off the country charts.
I know.
Now it's the number one song.
Overall.
On the Billboard Top 100.
I do love how every 10 years we try this.
What?
The like, let's get a black guy to, country on charts. A country beat. Let's throw it out here. Like every 10 years, like a new one comes up.
And this was like not even like that. It wasn't like when you saw Hick Hop come out.
Right.
Like that's when I was like, oh, they're going for it. Whereas this one was sort of like a trap thing that like actually could bang as country too.
Right.
Although, you know, shout out to everyone that was pointing out that it's a Nine Inch Nails sample.
Yeah, it really is. And you were I was like, why are you playing the back?
No,
the
I'm like,
beat
no.
To
I would Road. Love a Trent Reznor remix of Old Town Road as a Nine Inch Nails song. It's like, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road.
I do love that it has like, it's funny because unless you've like been to the South or spent time in the South, people don't understand how closely country and hip hop audiences really do sit together.
Right. Yeah.
And how like if you're raised in the South, like there's like a certain amount of blues and country just is in your life. That's just what it is. And it's not unconscious. So there's a lot of people that have this like, and a lot of people of color that have a pretty robust knowledge of country music that people have no idea about.
Right, right.
But I have enjoyed seeing like the Twitter mentions of like combos that they want to see, like you just mentioned one you
saw.
Right, like,
right.
Of course, I'm a Dolly Parton stan, so like I've been seeing a bunch of them of, I think her name is Megan Thee Stallion. I had to like look her up because I wasn't familiar with her.
Uh-huh.
But she's like on like the City Girls vibe where she's just like,
oh, hell yeah,
dirty trap, like talking about my pussy. Like I got a big old ass and she's fine as hell. Like, but I've been seeing a lot of those of like Dolly times Meg the Stallion, like the Stallion, an extra E in it. And I'm just like, I'm here for it. I am very much
God,
here for that.
Dolly, please.
I would love that. Like, just, I would love, I've been talking about it for a very long time, but I would love somebody to like chop and screw trap out 9 to 5 for the strip club.
Oh shit.
Like I want to go and see a fucking 9 to 5
working
dance off at Magic City. So bad.
Far.
Something just like, oh man, somebody just to take it, to sample it. They'd have to pay her a lot of money, but I think it would be great.
Well, you know, that's how it starts though. You do it illegal and it becomes so big. She's like,
can't
I'm going to have to get my check now
because
I'm on that NASCAR.
Let's do it. Exactly. She likes money.
Yeah, she just, you were talking about, she does have a NASCAR, a Dolly Parton.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
pink
yeah.
and white NASCAR.
Yep.
She is
looks like a Barbie NASCAR.
Tyler Reddick's number two car.
Yeah.
Damn.
Used to be, I think, Rusty Wallace used to rock the number two car in NASCAR. Anyway,
amazing
that's my
times.
Weird NASCAR knowledge. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the rebirth of Subway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, look, I like Subway.
Okay.
Very specifically.
That is your
very
right.
narrowly, okay? Mm-hmm. I like the... I like the most unhealthy shit there, which is the tuna sandwich.
Yes.
Yo, that's savagery.
Yeah. And
I think eating tuna outside of the house or a respectable deli is you're just asking to get you're asking for
I'm
it.
I'm asking to be thrown in a van and driven off to some black site.
Yeah, you live wild.
Oh, I walk on the motherfucking wild side. Also, I get this shit so much, I know they don't have it at airports. If you go to airport Subway, they usually don't have tuna.
I'm just saying, tuna is not shelf-stable. Like, I always think, like, that's when, like, you go to, like, a weird truck stop and they have like the can plus like the tuna packets and I'm just like
right. Oh yeah, the like Starkist tuna cracker tuna combo. You used to eat those for lunch in junior high.
But canned tuna is not refrigerated, right?
No.
So it is shelf stable, isn't it?
But like I don't know, man. How long has it been? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't. See, you don't fuck around. I live on the fucking edge.
But
okay?
Yeah, I mean, but after it's been taken out of the can and then mixed with a mayo of unknown source
and
stuck into
bag.
Another container.
Mayo? Also not refrigerated on the grocery store aisle.
Yeah,
so
doesn't matter. Look.
Once you open it, though, it's wild and free,
so much.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
Savage.
Miles, I do want to, and maybe some Subway employees, some, what are they called, fresh makers? No, that's my
sandwich artists?
Sandwich artists. Maybe some sandwich artists, Zeitgang, can let us know. But I would suspect that the reason they don't sell tuna sandwiches at airports is because the airline industry was like,
get that shit off.
That but shit like, would smell up the entire plane.
But for sure, bring that Panda Express on the truck. Like, that for sure is a chill smell.
Nothing's worth it. Someone brings McDonald's on and you're hungry.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, oh, I love that. Some of those fucking fries and I'm too hungry.
I wanted a red eye to Boston and this savage brought on a full hot ass pizza. And I was like,
oh my
God. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to sleep right now, and you got a whole like CPK pizza that you are just champing on right now.
Damn.
Anyway,
my fifth meal.
So last year, Subway was in trouble with their franchisees. They're like, we're getting killed on the $5 footlong, man.
Getting killed
on here, man. We got to figure something out. We need more money. We need marketing stuff. Anyway, they I think they closed about 1,000 locations.
So the $5 footlong was too good of a deal, basically.
Too good of a deal.
Losing money,
man. We can't do it like that.
Right.
So. They have teamed up with TasteMade, the website, you know what I mean, that makes all those like
they make the videos, right?
Yeah. They've teamed up with TasteMade to basically like bring their menu to fucking life. And they're coming with some interesting shit, okay? When you consider like what the competition is in the sandwich world. So the first one they're doing, the Green Goddess tuna melt. Damn.
Does it have Green Goddess dressing on
it? Yes.
Are we sure?
Yes, that's
a
the whole point.
A true Green Goddess dressing?
Okay, look, with like the like anchovies and shit in it.
Yeah, with like
probably
all the herbs and stuff?
Yeah, I hope so. Okay. And so this is all everything with mozzarella toasted on 9-grain bread. Okay, I like that. Because I feel like up until then, like Chipotle was like the most out of left field kind of flavor you could get at Subway. Now they're doing more. A BLT and E, okay? It's basically an egg salad sandwich, but they are doing like a deviled egg salad sandwich.
Oh my God, do they want to just fart in a bag and yes. sell it to people? What? Why would you get that? That is
I
not
love
a winner.
It. Okay, how about this? No, hold on now.
Now the smell of, I'm just imagining the smell of those eggs with the smell of the bread, which is like the ultimate and the last place you want to be when
oh
you're hungover.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You know what I realized?
Oh, that's true.
I'm so into this.
I would just be like,
I'm just so into the stinkiest sandwiches.
Really. You are. Yeah, dude, I'm learning a lot about you. Do you like natto?
Nasty. Oh, I love natto.
Of course you do. Okay, yeah.
This those, this all adds fermented up. Soybeans yeah. that look like rat shit.
They okay? smell disgusting.
Smell like shit. But I also love takuan, which is another yes. pickled yes. root vegetable that smells like
also
farts.
Also smells disgusting.
This article
that
makes
I
it,
like.
This article makes it sound like they are like crowdsourcing, like data mining these sandwiches because they said they noticed people were like doing a lot of searches for deviled eggs.
Right.
Deviled egg recipes.
And I think that's the benefit of teaming up with Tastemade
yeah,
is
they
that
got
like
that
all they do is they're kind of they know what like the flavor profiles are cracking, so they're like they can kind of quickly team up with Subway to be like, this is a thing that people are into. Like, we get it. People want bacon on everything. But now people like other shit. What about a Southern French dip sandwich? Okay, we don't know.
Ooh.
That's what they're trying to do. Anyway, all I'm saying is don't change the fucking cookie recipe because I love Subway cookies.
They should change that bread recipe, though, to make it smell less terrible.
What they should do is bring back the U-Gouge.
What
okay?
is that?
The U-Gouge, I don't know if you remember back in the day when the sandwich artiste would cut like a U-shaped thing off the top.
Oh, right.
And then fill the sandwich. Right now, they just cut it down the side and open it up.
You know what? I had the funniest experience with that you just described. I was not familiar with, I don't understand the grab, so maybe you can explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, where were we? We were in Denver, I think, maybe? Marcella and I. And we were Grubhubbing to the condo, because that's what we do, is we just Grubhub food. We don't leave the condo. We're like, you bring it to us. And we both love sandwiches, found sandwiches. And the sandwich showed up, and we like took it out of the paper, and then on top was this flat piece of white bread. And I was like, what is this? And then I realized it was that hunk that they took out.
Uh-huh.
They just flattened and put it right on the top.
Huh.
They didn't throw it like I wanted it? Are you what is the proper protocol for that? That strip, that panty liner amount of bread that is removed.
Well, they definitely aren't supposed to flatten it. They're supposed to just sit it down.
If you look at it, okay, if this is the
There's
roll from one end,
okay.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're Miles supposed to cut this part out, like
okay.
a U. So you actually get a good amount
of this
top.
So there's more space for meat?
Yeah, yes. So they pull this top part out, and now you have this concave, you know, this void within the bread.
Which makes sense for
and
something like
that.
A tuna, like an egg salad.
Right.
I get it.
See, right. what it sounds like your person did is just took this sad-ass part, like literally a little bit of a flap on top, which
it was like,
you're saying
yeah,
the panty liner type vibe.
Exactly. It was like the inside, and they had taken that out, and normally if you had like scooped it out, you would like throw it somewhere, I would assume. This place like pulled it out and then like made my sandwich and was like, here, we'll just put this on top. You want this, right?
Oh, that sounds like a whole other
and
thing.
And I was like, this is a mistake? And then right. Marcella's had it too? And then we were just like, I am so confused. And then she's a true savage, so she just took mine and hers and then rolled it up into one little mega ball and just took it to the face. And I was like, whoa.
A ball?
Like the bread ball. She's like, I love bread. This is delicious. I was like, I don't, this is crazy.
Like working it like a snowball.
But Miles,
so it didn't go to waste.
In your U-Gouge, they keep the top flat,
yeah, they're not
right?
giving it back, right?
No.
The U-Gouge, they lay back on top.
They put it back on.
Oh, so it stays
intact. So it's like
intact.
Two pieces.
Right.
Yeah.
It just sounds like they didn't go deep enough on yours, though.
Yeah, no. They went deep.
They
just
they
took
deep.
It
they
out.
They just took another, what sounds
it'd
like, be, I don't know
it'd
what
it'd be
what
like
happened,
going, I guess the equivalent, this is a really gross analogy, I can't believe I'm going to say this. It'd be like if you go to get liposuction,
right.
and then they're like, all right, here you go. And then they just give you all the shit that they sucked at, like in a little bag. And they're like, you want this to take home for later? Right. You're like, no, I don't.
I'm sorry. In this scenario, what am I doing later?
Right. I don't know. That's why I said this is not really working out. But I had already committed, and there's nothing else in my brain.
No,
so I was
continuing the bit where I was asking the question of this doctor who did that.
Yeah. Exactly. Who knows? I mean, you don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Hey, do whatever you want with
don't
that bag.
Ask, don't tell. It's our motto for everything. Mm-hmm. Don't ask, don't tell. Aunt Becky, guys, may be headed to prison. Felicity
Put
Huffman
in
is
jail.
A snitch. Felicity Huffman took the plea deal.
Yo.
She's a rat. You know, some people, they're real, like, low-value humans. Take
Man.
The deal.
Man.
I mean, so, okay, we always knew there was a difference in their crimes, right? Felicity Huffman only paid $15,000. To have for her daughter's daughter's test scores altered,
just
which put her in the mail fraud category.
Yeah.
Okay,
where Massimo and Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky, I still can't believe they're a couple, they paid at least $500,000 to get their two daughters into USC.
Because they were dumb as shit.
Yeah, that puts them in the, that puts them in the straight up money laundering category.
Right.
Yeah. So their offenses are different. So the rumors are, for, according to TMZ's legal sources and some people in CBS News.
Solid.
I mean, look.
100.
Give us the tea. T in TMZ. They're saying that Felicity Huffman is looking, if her plea deal might include around 4 months of prison time for mail fraud. Lori Loughlin and Massimo, they're looking at 2 years with a plea.
That his and hers, what's up?
And they're like, get them jumpies shook on. Daddy, because they don't know.
They should be.
Yeah. Again, this is where it's getting real, and they don't know if they should A, take the fucking plea and, you know, do your fucking, you know, do your 2 year stretch, take it on the chin, or do they fight the fucking case, which if they fought the case, it would turn into like a grand jury trial. And that would be like there would be like sort of modifiers to their sentence. So they could be looking at a lot
like
more
way
time.
Longer, right?
Yeah, if they try and fight the case. So they're kind of in a weird spot right now.
Wait, so if they plea out, they still might get 2 years? Yeah.
That's, let's talk about this 2 years, though, because does the judge have any influence over how the 2 years is spent? Because we know that there can be a lot of creative interpretation of jail time, right?
Sure.
Two years can be interpreted to like, you know, right. 3 months, 90 days, and then a year and a half of house arrest.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Who knows?
But I mean, have you seen their house? It's a shithole.
I mean,
so
it
could
is
you imagine
trash.
Having to stay
right?
there,
it looks like a Tuscan nightmare.
I'm all for them all going to jail.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing.
Like last week, I was bringing up the thing.
I feel
where
not bad for them.
A lot of prison reform advocates are saying, you know, because of our fucked up system, like when we see shit like this, we're like, yeah, put these motherfuckers in jail because we know so many people who are locked up over nothing.
Exactly.
Right? And a lot of prison reform advocates are sort of like, or like, do we actually look at this differently and try and figure out a way? Because we spoke about a woman who was in Connecticut who lied about where she lived just to get her son into a different public school.
Exactly.
She's doing 12 years.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's why I was like, can we find a way where that woman doesn't have to be in jail just so we don't have to fuel our thirst for these people to be in jail too? And that's where it gets fucked up, because when you see examples like this of people of privilege abusing that ability or their means to do shit like this, people get so fucking like, oh man, Barry, put them under the fucking jail.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm like, yeah, is there a way we can find laws that aren't punishing people like this woman in Connecticut for her shit? Like, is there a way that doesn't involve incarceration where she can get drug treatment or whatever to figure out, like, straighten her life out? And do we have these people, like, meet actually disenfranchised people?
Yeah. Like, this is what's really hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think about the kids are involved here, right? Like, that's what it comes down to is, like, I know so many smart, talented kids that cannot go to college,
right.
Don't have the means to go to college, and did the best they could with the amount of money that their parents had. Their parents didn't have money for, like, music lessons and all this stuff. So like they've tried to get as many of these extracurriculars to make themselves look as most, you know, sexy as possible to these colleges,
right.
But they're not getting in because they don't have the money. Like it literally costs money to raise a child to make them juicy enough to go to a college. Like that's terrible.
Yeah, right.
Like I would rather see, like, yes, I want them jailed, but I would also love them to see them be like, oh, and now you have to spend an equal amount of money in a school district on programs that provide opportunities for disenfranchised kids to like learn French, German, Spanish, blah, 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 to go to an art appreciation, to go study abroad, to do this, to do this, to go volunteer. There's kids that can't volunteer because they have to go to a job to get paid money to help pay the rent with their parents.
Right.
Like, that's the shit that makes me feel really, really
sad.
Exactly. Is that like, oh, and they're doing it at some shitty school that doesn't have anything.
Right.
I went to like a recital for my goddaughter, and it's like this big, it was in Santa Monica, you know, fairly well offish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still a public school and they still have tons of things that they need. Like they had these kids doing this like marching band thing and they had sheet music taped to the kids' backs. So the kids came into the auditorium with sheet music taped on their back playing the thing. And I'm like, they have things for that.
Yeah, they have
the neck things for marching band. And I was like, I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, there is sheet music taped to these children's backs.
Right. Mm.
But that's what they had.
Yeah.
It worked. It was adorable.
Yeah.
I heard that's what turned Stephen Miller bad is his Santa Monica High School.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have enough marching liars, right. They're called.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Oh, I used to be in the marching band.
I knew there was a thing. I was like,
because the paper lies
that.
On top of it.
I don't know. It's spelled L-Y-E-R-L-Y-R-E.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say,
try harder.
Yeah, like traps the little things you can just, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be Lear. I don't know. That's just what my weird band teacher, shout out to Mr. Combs.
Yeah. But I say, put him in jail.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and, Mr. And honestly,
Mr. Combs?
Mr.
Combs? Everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Even Tito. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's just one of those things, too. Like, I think they need to figure out how to properly punish these people.
And, yeah.
You know, whatever, however the fuck it comes down, it comes down. I just don't. I also just wish we lived in a world where people who are disadvantaged and who are having to try and work the system just to get an equal shot aren't punished so disproportionately. So, you know, maybe Eric Swalwell will solve all this since he's putting his hat in the race.
Yes, finally. We've all been waiting for it. Lydia, it's been a pleasure having you, as always. Thanks. What a guest. Where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me on the internet at Hater Tuesday is Instagram and the Twitter. I have a website, lydiapopovich.com. That's a place that I put up all my dates and stuff.
Okay.
Touring around. I'm at the Hollywood Improv a great deal. I'm there almost every Wednesday for Women Crush Wednesdays with Marcella Arguello. I'm going to be in DC in June with Marcella, Philly on April 25th and 26th in Philadelphia at the Punchline there, me and Marcella.
Marcella is a Zeitgang favorite.
The woke bully.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Next week, I will be at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach with Felipe Esparza, which will be super fun, too.
Doing comedy or magic or both? A little bit of both?
I am walking magic, but I will be doing comedy.
All right. Cool. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Here we go. It's from Chris Estrada, who's an amazing stand-up comic.
Okay.
And this is something he tweeted. He's been doing shows in Florida, and it was very funny to me.
All right, so it said, if I had to sum up my lasting impression of this weekend in Tampa so far, it would be last night watching three young white women saying, bitch, three fine-ass niggas coming to meet us up. And then three white guys in oversized shorts showed up.
That made me laugh just as hard as it made you guys laugh. I was like, oh, my God, that's fucking great.
Tampa.
Let's hear it for Tampa. Huh.
Let's hear it for Tampa. Miles, where can people find you? And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. What is it? At Miles of Gray. Yeah, that's where you can find me. And a tweet I like. Oh, man. Because of Candace Owens' comments about, you know, denying the existence of the Southern strategy, saying it's a myth, right? That conservatives courted racist whites in the South to get their support. She said it was a myth, and then, like, and a lot of people have been circulating this video from PragerU, lol, about sort of just saying, like, this is the explaining the, quote, myth of the Southern strategy. There's a historian called Kevin Kruse who constantly has to, like, take down this video as a historian and be like, no, this is bullshit. So this is, it's not even, it's a thread. I'm just going to retweet it. Just check out the retweet because he's just point by point taking down this argument that the Southern strategy is a myth. Because it is a very real thing. Also, shout out to Ava DuVernay, who also tweeted after Candace Owens was like, here's an audio clip of one of Reagan's political strategists from the 13th talking just exactly how the fuck they were going to shift policy to help whites and harm the blacks, is in his own words. So, yeah.
Interesting. So you're saying she's wrong about that?
Candace Owens?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What? She's just wrong. She needs to fucking just let go and let God.
Tweets I've been enjoying. Rabbi Daniel Rutenberg tweeted, hi, Rabbi here. Stephen Miller is a white nationalist. thank you for weighing in. JP McDade tweeted, don't even try to tell me about the real New York if you never got your ass kicked by the Ninja Turtles. And
that's also great. Wow, that's great.
And then a paw stamping on a human face forever tweeted, if you're the first to complete the New York Times crossword puzzle on any given day and are able to deliver conclusive evidence of this feat, the New York Times editorial staff allow you to execute one pundit of your choice. Full legal amnesty and all. Which I did not know that, but that's amazing. Okay. you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's I gonna beat it?
This is a track from this man from South London, Oscar Jerome. And the track is called Chromatic Descendants. And let me tell you, man, warm up your big toe. Because it's going to be jumping all up in your boot.
Last
sneaker,
time you didn't tell me,
Tiva.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
I pulled my big toe.
And your toenail shot off.
Yes.
Did you say in your Tiva?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Divas are coming back. Have you noticed that?
No, and I'd like to keep it that way.
I know, but it's weird. I see fucking teen kids rocking the Tevas with sandals. I'm like, yo, you look like my fucking camp
counselor. Tevas with sandals?
Yeah. With socks, you mean?
My socks, yeah. But Tevas, no. They put a sandal on top of that shit.
Yo, damn. My two sandals.
Yeah, super flex.
Jesus can suck a dick. Jesus Christ. He didn't wear two sandals?
Jesus Christ. Put the arm of Christ on.
And then two sandals. Fuck these oceans. I'm walking across all of them. And my Tevas.
Watch me turn this water into MD 2020.
You float with two Tevas.
Is that Mountain Dew 2020?
Mad Dog 2020, baby. Yeah, I'm not drinking that shit.
Well, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Sound transcend the tree top. Celestial harmony that makes the club stop. Existing outside this perceived time. Malation, elevation. Oh, first things first, get your inspiration. Oh, people wears a sunny on some astral navigation. Subterranean thing from the belly of the beast. Oh, that gives life to the ground beneath your feet. It's perfectly calm.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.